Paul, and she's alive now, Lucy. She certainly wasn't alive in the Tudor times, and that's her area of expertise. You know, so I don't think the comment on social media is valid. Sorry, but
yeah,
it's not.
Okay, that's fine. That's good. So, yeah. Now, when, you know, you've been doing this, I'm really interested in the fascination you had with it all. With going back in, so I would say your parents are probably maybe 60s born?
50s.
50s, right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like mine, sort of, yeah?
Yeah, 51 and 55.
Well, my parents were born in the 40s, so 50s, yeah. That's about right, yeah.
Yeah.
So they would have been sort of experiencing it in the younger days, sort of thing. I know you was that way, but...
As in interested in it, do you mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Not really. I think my dad was slightly actually concerned of my interest at one stage.
Right,
I mean,
okay.
he's very happy I'd done the book.
Yeah, yeah.
I know one conversation that sticks to mind when I told him I was at work. I do house removals for a living. That's that's my everyday job. And I spoke to him a few days after the event, and I said, oh, I was at work the other day carrying a wardrobe up a stairway, and Fred Foreman phoned. I said to the lads, oh, the Godfather's phoning me at work.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And I think at the time my dad was quite horrified, and he actually sort of quietly said to me, you know, you need to be a little bit concerned about your phone book. And that those were his exact words.
Yeah, that's isn't that quite a true thing, really, in a way?
It is. I mean, you know, as a parent, you know, you've got to look out for your kids. And guide them in the right direction. And I've never been a criminal, I've never been a villain, I'm not interested in being a villain. But I guess, and who knows, I may put this in a book one day, but I think if I hadn't had my daughter when I did, there's a small chance I could have gone down that road.
Mm-hmm.
Which obviously I'm glad I didn't.
Yeah.
I've come close to being on the edge of criminality.
Yeah.
I know I was under surveillance once for what I thought was delivery work.
Right.
But there was actually something far worse going on. Stolen goods and, you know, illicit goods.
And you were delivering
it. I was purely just delivering.
Mm.
And I was also, I was even questioned over the £52 million Securitas robbery over in Tunbridge.
Right, yeah.
Which I never had no dealings with it.
And that's true as well, isn't it? Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
Mm. I feel like I've almost dipped in to the edge you know, a lot of these things, But no, I am a straight goer, and I work for a living. And
that's it. And that's where, even with the people that we associate at events or whatever, there is a huge amount of respect between everybody. Everybody knows you are, I am, everyone.
Yeah. And most of these ex-villains, criminals, they've all turned their lives around, you know.
Hmm.
But they've told their stories along their way, and they're fascinating stories.
Absolutely.
And, obviously, we both know Linda Calvey.
Yeah,
we spoke about Fred, and they're all just great people to talk to, and they're very approachable.
Yeah,
they've, you know, all done great books.
Yeah.
And, you know, it goes back to what we spoke about before. You know, if I wrote about a book about flowers, I'm sure we wouldn't be stood here today having an interview.
You don't want to be called David Petal, do you?
No, exactly.
You know, it's like, but that's very true.
Everyone is interested in it.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean we condone it.
No.
That's something I get asked.
And you don't, support all the stuff they did either.
No.
But this is a historical, pictorial fact.
Yeah.
Factual book.
Yeah, and if someone is interested in going to these places of interest that are still standing today, that's really what the book's for.
We mentioned Palitzsch's earlier on and all that there, but some of the what's the other fascinating places that you know in the book that is, I don't want to do too much, but
no,
but
I think the Central Criminal Court, which is still a working court today, that's a great one, and I do give some tips inside the book of how to go about visiting. It's called the Old Bailey, isn't it? That's the sort of term most people know. That's a great visit. Palitzsch's is one of my favourite. I also went much further afield into Suffolk, and I delved into like the mansion where they used to live.
The Holiday Park.
Suffolk. Yeah, the Holiday Park in Steeple Bay.
Yeah.
And their associate Jeff Allen, talk about him in there, and where the twins met him as well up in Suffolk.
Yeah, so there's a lot of history there. Now, I don't want to give you too much information. I have done loads, actually. I've been a naughty boy, but every single place in here, like the one we mentioned earlier on, Wilton's Music Hall. It tells you it's Grace's Alley, London, E18JB. Shadwell Tube Station is the nearest place. Because you don't want to get parking tickets, do you?
Definitely not.
170 quid was the one you got?
Oh, I don't know if it's quite that much. But, the parking is ridiculous up in London.
Richmond, you went to Richmond as well. I didn't notice that. That's me, Richmond.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, that's Richmond TW, so that stands for Twickenham. TW9. So all of the details are there.
I would have spent hours and hours Googling and trying to find these places originally before I physically...
Yeah.
And that's the point with this. I have physically been to all these places. It's not, I've not sort of gone on Google Maps and Street View and found these places. I've physically gone to these places and photographed them, and gone through lots of trainers in the meantime, walking the streets. Spent a fortune with British Rail on train tickets, but it's been a fantastic journey along the way. I've really enjoyed it.
Yeah, now you've got that. There's one little bit in here, a little bit in there about Nipper Reed as well. Well, that's quite a bit, actually. But so he was the only ever man to stop the craze. Well, it was a collective, wasn't it? But
it was a collective. But on the, a lot of these sort of true crime and cray groups, Nipper's taken a lot of stick over the years. At the end of the day, he was doing his job.
Yeah.
And I think it's right to put something
put about him in there. Yeah, definitely. Because there was a lot of, how can you put it, other people on the outside, MPs, politicians, stars, all supporting the craze, come what may, and telling him back off.
Yeah.
Which is what happens nowadays, doesn't it?
They'll do whatever they have to do to get the conviction at the end of the day.
So you mentioned something earlier on, very, very interesting, when you said, you sort of dabbled toe in, toe out, that sort of thing. Back in them days, did you feel like he was a bit of a gangster then? And after watching the Craze film?
I suppose as a kid, before the dibble and the dabble, when I was watching the Kemp Brothers Cray film, I think I'd be lying if I didn't, come away from those films thinking, I'd be a gangster.
This
is cool. But I would certainly say to anyone today that it's not cool.
It isn't.
It's it's a real ripple effect of misery and sadness that is put upon the parents and family, not the people that are doing the crimes in the first place.
Exactly. I've had a lot of people in here that have been criminals, and we know a lot of them, and they've moved on, but they've still got that haunting them from years ago.
Yeah.
And they were younger people then, and so on, and it must have been horrific. But everyone says it, but the younger people out there now do not go down this route.
No, that's right.
Right. And nowadays, from what I understand, it's all postcode now. You know, it's all postcode games and all that sort. To me, why would you want to do that?
Yeah, I mean, I've tried understanding crime today with all this knife crime, and I really don't understand it. A lot of it is senseless to me. If it's that whole saying, if you live by the knife, that you're going to die by the knife.
You would die by the knife, yeah, you know. Absolutely. And, you know, nowadays I don't understand why they've got security in schools, things like that. What is that all about?
They need to go back to basics, I think, and start with, you know, the children when they're young, educating very, you know, much younger children.
Mm. It will come, but not, you know, I don't think it'll come straight away.
It takes a long time.
When I was younger, it was I was born 62. In the 50s, early 50s, after the war, conscription.
Yes, yeah.
And you had to go into the army or the navy or whatever, and then that made men.
Yeah.
Like the dockers and all that sort of thing in this side of the country anyway. And so, you know, and then there was a hell of a lot of respect there.
Yeah.
Now, interestingly enough, in your book, there's one little bit in there about the deserters.
Yes, yeah.
I'll say no more. But, you know, it's...
But a lot of the villains we talk about today from the 60s were deserters. Not all of them, but but many of them were.
Yeah.
So that's something to be said about, I think. I mean, you know, these guys didn't like being told what to do. They,
no.
You know,
as we've come to be. So now, got any plans for the future? Or can we not talk about that? Because we've got the secret squirrel here.
Yes.
Right. You are, though, aren't you?
Well, you know, if I'm told something in confidence, I'm not going to repeat it.
Oh, right, okay. No, that's all right.
There will be at least one or two other things in the pipeline, definitely.
Excellent, super.
Yeah.
And that's good. And same sort of area?
Yes.
Cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's what I know.
Yeah. Exactly. So, Donna, let's talk to you. Okay. Okay, you had a book, I can't remember how many years ago it was now, 2-3 years ago, when you came in with your book?
Yeah, that was a year ago, or just over a year ago.
And was it? Yes, that's my memory's short, isn't it? But obviously that, you did a book on, and go out there and get this, I suppose Amazon or whatever, they have them in the warehouses, I guess, yeah?
Yes.
So tell everybody about your book.
Okay, so it's Soul Searching from, it's about PTSD, and it's my journey through PTSD from a couple of traumas, one of which was an assault, and I share my story in a way that would help other people heal from their own trauma.
Hmm. It's fantastic because... your trauma or something else, but the way that it's been written, very articulate, very, very straight down the line, and it is just so, so useful. So if you know anybody that's suffering with PTSD, or even that one on the outside of it, that book is amazing to actually have a read, isn't it?
Thank you, Nigel. Also delves into depression and anxiety as well.
Yeah. So just had a message. David up there in Scarborough, he's a friend of mine, and he was with me when we went to the Blind Beggar.
Yes, I met David.
And he said, say hi to Dave and Donna. It's only just occurred to me that I met Donna at the Blind Beggar when we went. Yeah? Now, how strange is that? His wife's Donna.
Yes. Oh, really?
Yeah, Dave and Donna at Scarborough. Dave and Donna here.
Oh, that's funny. That's
isn't funny. It funny? Hey, yeah.
Let's say hi back.
Bizarre. Hello there. And David says hello to you, David, up there in Scarborough. Because there's gnat strings like that fork. So, so yeah, so no, that's nice. And, you know, your book's amazing. And I think that whatever you decide to do later on, book-wise or whatever, because you probably won't tell me anyway. But
I'm writing the first in my new crime series. So I've obviously got my crime series out already.
Yeah.
I've started a new crime series, so that's what I'm doing at the moment.
Okay, now, your crime series, tell us a bit about that. It's about eight books, isn't it? Something like that?
No, it's a trilogy, so it's trilogy. Three books.
Oh, three books, right, yeah.
That's been out for several years.
Yeah, okay. And now you do real crime, or is it fantasy crime or fiction?
It's crime fiction.
Crime fiction, yeah. Mm-hmm. Cool.
So some of it's based, my first series was based on my experiences, work and personal. Part of the new series, a small part, will be based on my experiences, but most of it is just my imagination.
Cool. That's it. David's imagination will go farther than that, won't it? Over your stuff, I'm sure. Right, now, very quick, we're going to talk about Linda Calvey. We didn't mention Linda earlier. We'll do that in a minute. Now, let's talk about somebody that we all know amongst ourselves.
Yeah.
I'll let you lead on this because it's very important, but Dave Corney.
Yes, yeah.
Shocking.
Yeah.
Absolutely shocking. There's tributes going on absolutely everywhere, at the Charlton football ground yesterday and the local pub. Massive tribute to Dave there, and also Dave's old house yesterday, which was meant to be a Halloween party, but it was just a tribute night.
Yeah.
Your views on Dave and...
First of all, I want to send my condolences out
absolutely.
To Dave's family and friends.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people around us that knew Dave far better than we did.
Mm-hmm.
We did meet him several times.
Mm-hmm.
And we was actually out in Sicily when the news broke out. We was actually halfway up Mount Etna at the time. And I'll be honest, I felt like crying my eyes out. It's hit me really hard.
You can't imagine. When I was reading my lease and I went, you know what, I can't believe this. And I was gobsmacked and quite tearful.
Yeah.
And like you say, we only know Dave not as well as everybody else, possibly. So, yeah, shocking.
He walked into a room and he lit up the whole event, didn't he?
He
had such charisma.
Yeah. Dave Courtney.
Fascinating crap. Character, you know, the life and soul of every event that he attended. Great guy, and his mate Brendan. You know, I think everyone would like a friend like Brendan. He's been amazing. My heart really goes out to him.
20
right
odd
now.
Years, wasn't it?
Yeah.
They were really good friends. I spoke to Brendan on the phone a few times, but never met him. But and I sort of just saw him on telly, but. Yeah, very, very lovely guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, anyone that can... I can turn around and say, Dave Courtney, come down the stairs at Camelot Castle, right, in a dressing gown, socks, slippers, and Dave, what are you looking like? you know, it made me laugh.
Yeah.
And then his coffee was rubbish as well. But but that's his humour, do you know what I mean?
Great sense of humour. Mm-hmm. I was doing some filming just recently at his place on a project called Fight or Flight. They had a large dog there, I can't remember what it's called, like a pit bull type dog. But yeah, Dave was practically wrestling with this dog on the floor in a... You know, immaculate pinstripe suit, but you know, his love for this animal was just, you know, it was so funny to watch.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm sure everyone's got, you know, a story about Dave and Camelot Castle and
It's not Camelot Castle is an amazing place, but you only see a bit of it, really. You know, it's a fascinating place.
Yeah, it really is.
And if you're lucky, you go to a nightclub at the bottom of the garden, which is fascinating.
Yeah. We went to the balloon release last night at the pub, which...
That was so moving, wasn't it?
Yeah, and then we went to the condolence book signing at the house afterwards. I felt guilty being there. It just didn't feel right, you know, with Dave not being there.
No, he's not there.
And there was just the queue to sign the book was unbelievable. And bear in mind, this was in the rain last night. Everyone was queuing up to sign this book.
With just like a couple of days,
notice, and we see his mum, his sister, his brother. I now see at least one of his daughters there, and it's just heartbreaking.
Yeah, because one of his daughters is now a singer as well. Yeah. Courtney.
Yes.
And that's amazing.
Absolutely heartbreaking.
You just can't fathom it out. And if it is what it is, shocking.
Yeah, there's lots of stories floating around, lots of conspiracies. I think people will read far too much into it. I think, as the videos state, I think Dave was just in intolerable pain.
Yeah.
And it was just too much for him.
Yeah, because even that day when we saw him at the Blind Beggar, he was walking around. You could tell there was something not quite right.
He wasn't there very long, was he?
No, he didn't stay very long. He had to go somewhere else now, see? But he had to. And I think he came down, saw Maureen or whatever he did, and then went.
It's like, a showman on stage being unwell, isn't it?
But he was always great. If you wanted a picture with him or whatever,
always approachable.
He was always telling me, Camelot Castle, bring your missus along next time we go to the dark room. Oh, yeah, righto. It's just joking on the steps. But that was his humour.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was amazing. People may have seen pictures of when I went to Camelot inside the house.
Yeah.
That's just something else. Absolutely. You know. But
Thank God you didn't pick that gun up.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
The mind boggles, doesn't it?
You don't know, do you? I mean, yeah. So, well, God bless you, Dave.
Yeah.
You know, obviously we didn't know you as well as a lot of people did, but, you know, huge amount of respect for you. You're up there with the angels now and looking down on us all.
Yeah, definitely. And it'll always be in everyone's thoughts and memories. I think every event there should be a tribute to Dave, I think.
Absolutely, yeah. I don't mind talking about it. I did it last week and I've done it again today because we are, you know, respectful to him. We're respectful amongst ourselves as well. There's pictures of me in the studio here. What's that all about? That's secret filming. Hang on. Right, let's just find... my very good friend, Linda Calvey. We'll do this one now?
Yeah.
Right. Linda Calvey is known as the Black Widow. Bless you, Linda. How are you? Hope you enjoyed your dinner when I rang. Oh, no, you rang me, didn't you? So that's fair enough then. Right, so let me tell you a little bit about what's coming up from Linda. Linda is bringing the book out. We will be having an interview right here in Phoenix FM in a little while about this book, but it's The Hard Reality of Prison and What It Takes to Survive. And it's called Life Inside. You can pre-order it now on Amazon, The Hard Reality of Prison and What It Takes for you to be able to survive. Yep. Now that's good. Now so that's one book coming out. There is another book coming out. There's two books of Linda's coming out, but we'll talk about that one a bit later on. Now there is also a charity night coming up very soon indeed, and it is, let's just do it for you. I'm trying to find it on your page, Linda. Sorry about it. So I did print it out and I've lost it. Just typical of me, isn't it? Right. Where is it? I will find it. Might leave with me. We'll come back to that in a minute. I did have the printout of it. It's probably in the car. But also Kirsty. Yes, Kirsty Moore is with Linda as well. But yeah, let's just talk to you two about Linda and your knowledge of Linda and so on.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's an amazing lady, and I think she's very brave sharing her stories. Yeah, she's very approachable.
Yeah,
fantastic author. Yeah, I think I've met her a couple of times now.
Lovely lady.
Yeah, absolutely super lady.
So the Black Widow was her true life story, and then you had the other books as well, and The Locksmith and The Game. Fantastic. There was a lot of in there. It was all fictional, but it was a lot of real true stuff.
You can pick it up if you've read her true life story.
So Lynn's doing this book, and there's another one coming out as well. And you, David?
About Linda, sorry.
Yeah.
I've met Linda many times. Mm-hmm. Lovely lady, very approachable.
Yeah, lovely.
Given her stories, you know, I'll be totally honest, the very first time I met her, I was a bit nervous. But, yeah, lovely lady. And, yeah, she's doing great things for charity. Mm. I did donate quite a bit of memorabilia, you know, for one of her events for the auction. Yeah, always a good turnout. She always gets lots of people to attend. I'm not reading her books as quick as I'd like. I need to pull my finger out on the reading side of things.
Time is a problem, isn't it?
We're never still.
Well, you two, no, definitely not.
I will certainly be reading those as soon as I can.
So anyway, so Linda is doing, I'm trying to find, for goodness sake, not, well, I'll find it in a minute, but Linda is doing a charity event from a young lady that was killed in Great Baddo in near Chelmsford, and she's doing it for the mum and the family and the children. And then let's talk about Kirsty Moore now, and we'll come back to you at this event. Sorry, I'm just being a bit forgetful. Right, anyway, so Kirsty Moore, what a story. Kirsty is a lady that's actually out there at the moment to free Jason Moore. Now, she has loads and loads and loads of important people behind her, the likes of Sir Ian Botham, the Church of England. You've got Lady Sammy Cole, and so many other important people behind her. Bobby Cummings, OBE, and just a whole list of people that are trying to get behind the Jason Moore and his release, because his story is... he shouldn't be there, basically. And so many people are actually behind the campaign. Now, when Kirsty came in the other week and she basically gave me a copy, so it was the first ever play on radio of this song. It's called Rise of a Broken Man. And this is by people that are out in abroad. I think it's Nigeria or something like that. And they made this song, okay? It's a bit rappy, it's a bit, but it's, the true words are amazing. And it's all to do with a note that Kirsty got, and they've done this whole song regarding it. And this is to you, Kirsty, and everyone there. And I will find that Linda thing in just a moment. Oh, hang on a minute. That's an announcement, is it? Right, okay. Right. So, here we are. This is called Rise of a Broken Rise Man. Of a
Broken Man by Jason Moore.
And this is his note.
Breathe, Jason Moore. Cause there's a killer on the run. Free Jason Moore, so he can leave us home. Free Jason Moore. I stare at the seals as they pass me by. Life in tide has been destroyed. I stare at the heavens, very annoying. I'm in darkness, going through hell. They're passing me by as a rotten cell. In this living hell, I didn't do anything wrong. I must find a way to be
strong. I stare at the sky and shovel at me. I was once happy and bold, bold free. But something within me and the path is broken. It's bleeding with me, don't stay broken. It's bleeding with me, stay alive, you can. It bleeds with me, I'll stand a man. So I wipe away the tears of anger, the tears of despair, the tears that say I believe in faith.
As the once broken man in prison, surrounded by sin, my new attitude is never give in. I will mend my heart and find my soul. I will get my spirit back and become whole. Now my spirit says hold on. Now my heart it beats strong. I have found my soul, and to my surprise, the once broken man has begun to rise. One step of inspiration, I'm looking at the feet. This new broken man doesn't know when he is beat. I'll stay down the demons, I'll find a light. When I come across evil, I'll put up a fight. And when I'm finally free of this prison, the world will know a broken man has risen.
Kirsty and Linda, I apologise because I've only just read your announcement.
Jera.
So, because I'm always behind what you guys and girls do. And so, this is the announcement on that event. So, I will look up the venue in a minute for you. But this is from Linda. Dear everyone, I regret to inform you that we've made a change to the fundraising originally intended for Evie and Tom. After a careful consideration, the family has decided to focus on their children's needs at this time, and it is not accepting charity. In light of this and their wishes, so to show our respect, they have decided to redirect, or you have decided to redirect your funds to the Newham Boxing Club, which you've done before. Fantastic. So so thank you very much for letting me know on that one. That song there, of course, was the Jason Moore song. Sorry, I do apologise. Absolutely brilliant that. It's on Spotify. It's on everywhere right now. Absolutely fantastic. Right, so let's come back to you guys. Yeah. Travelled all over the show, haven't you?
Yes, yeah, definitely.
And so, for instance, I mean, obviously, you probably go up to Newcastle and places like that. Yeah. Not a Newcastle fan, are you?
No.
Steve,
well, I'm a Crystal Palace fan, and I kept very quiet because last week they turned us over big time.
Yeah, I mean, my pal Steve, as we mentioned earlier,
he runs the page, doesn't he?
He's a huge football Newcastle fan, but yeah, I'm not big on football.
No, that doesn't matter, does it? No, last week turned me over because if it had been the other way, I might have said something.
Exactly.
Not a lot, but. So obviously places like that, other places that you've been to as well, you know, even going out to Richmond, I mean, flipping heck, to do this book, you know.
We've actually, as you know, we've just been to Sicily.
Yeah.
We've just been to some of the film locations from The Godfather. So that was.
Are they still there? Or you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So we've kind of I've rinsed London. I've gone, you know, Suffolk, Kent. Now we're trying to go around the world now.
So now you're Al Pacino.
That's it.
Yeah, go on.
I need to polish up on my Italian.
I'm glad you never came in with a violin case or something earlier on, because that would have got me worried. you know what I mean? Amazing. David, I think, I hope the book goes very, very well for you, because this is not another book written about the craze. Definitely not, is it?
No, it's different.
This is where the craze, 90 years in places that they have visited. Yes.
It had to be something different. Obviously, there are so many books on the craze, and it had to be something different. And it was never about making money. This was always about sharing my knowledge. And when we, you know, got to the publishing stage, I said to Donna, if one person buys the book and enjoys it, I'd be very happy. And we've exceeded far beyond that. So
I think this needs to be got. And here, the other one was shipped to Mallet Prison.
Yes, that is a great place to visit if you like haunted dark tourism like us.
Yeah, haunted as well.
Yeah, apparently so.
And the film location will include Paddington too. Yeah,
yes.
I remember, yes. Exactly. Then Bow Street Police Station and Magistrates Court.
Yeah, they were some of the last places we visited. But yeah, again, great places to visit.
But if you want to know all about that, Those Were the Craze, 90 Years in Places by David Nast.
Available on?
All of them.
Amazon.
Not any of the others, no.
Just
Amazon.
Just Amazon.
Yeah. Well, Amazon's amazing, so, you know, you'll get it the next day if you're lucky or whatever. Just get it. Books are books, but this is amazing, and I love all these stories. Well, that's not a story, that is a pictorial history.
It's like a reference book.
Yeah, over 90 years, definitely. David, thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you for having us. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. Donna. Great to see you again.
Yeah, and you. And we'll come back very soon. So this is This Old Heart of Mine. That's us. Right. Not David, not Donna, just me. Because I'm an old man right now, yeah. Thank you for David and to Donna, not David and Donna in Scarborough.
on Phoenix 98 FM. Here's Nigel.
Phoenix FM.
Just a day, living can't we play? London bridge is falling down, no sign to say. get, the better you look, baby. The better you look, the more I want you. When you turn on your smile, I feel my heart go wild. I'm like a child with a brand new toy, and I get the sweetest feeling, honey, the sweetest. Baby, the sweetest. Loving you, touch me, baby. The deeper your touch, the more you thrill me. It's more than I can stand. Girl, when you hold my hand, I feel so grand that I could cry. And I get the
Nigel, what's occurring?
Deal with all the problems later.